Welcome to Be Customer Led, where we'll explore how leading experts in customer and employee experience are navigating organizations through their own journey to be customer led and the actions and behaviors employees and businesses exhibit to get there. And now, your host, Bill Stakos.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Be Customer Led. I've got a really special guest with us. Bill Szymakowski is the U.S. Customer Experience Lead for Biogen, which is a global pharma company. And they're doing some pretty cool cutting edge stuff if you're not familiar with the organization. But Bill, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome to have you here. So Bill is from the Northeast, and he just told me it's okay because he's got 14 inches of snow, which is mind-boggling to someone who's in Virginia and got like 2 inches of snow. It was enough for the kids to play in, and then it all melted the next day, which is kind of my speed right now. But so Bill, you've been in the customer experience space for a while. I don't mean to age you or make you sound old in any way, but you have this great, you know, just richness of experience in the space. So tell our listeners about your journey, how you got into customer experience generally, and what are sort of the factors that helped you be successful and grow into different roles, you know, and obviously, you know, more senior roles over your career too.
Sure. Yeah. So I started at Fidelity as a phone representative back in 1998. And I only bring that up because the phrase that we always said there on the phones was put the customer first, right? Long before anyone was talking about customer experience, that was sort of the mantra, put the customer first, put the customer first. And so that has really been ingrained in me ever since then, in every single role that I've had. So after the phone organization, I went into product management for developing some of our new products at Fidelity. And then I went and managed parts of Fidelity.com. So went into the digital space. And then after my time in digital is when I really moved into customer experience. And I think there are a lot of really good parallels with UX and CX. And so it was sort of a natural transition for me. I did have a role in between there where I went and led digital at another company and found myself always talking about customer experience, not necessarily user experience. And so then I got a call from someone at Fidelity that I used to work with, and they said, hey, we're starting this customer experience organization. You know, the leaders have said we need to provide the best customer experience in the financial services industry. You know, it seems like you would be great to help us kick this off. And so I jumped at the chance. You know, it was a great opportunity. A lot of work to sort of figure out, all right, we have 10,000 employees in the division I was in, and now everyone's talking about customer experience. Well, how do you make that real for those 10,000 employees? And but it was a great opportunity. And ever since then, I can't stop the CX part of my brain. Whether I'm out, you know, at the hardware store, I wrote an article for a magazine talking about the customer experience I had at a local hardware store that just blew me away. But, you know, whether I'm doing that or at a restaurant with my wife and kids, I'm always thinking about customer experience and observing and just trying to sort of keep that part of my brain sharp. And practicing, you know, what I preach and what I talk about at work all day long.
So you remember I told you before we started recording that sometimes someone says something at the beginning that I'm like, scrap the questions I was going to ask you, and I want to keep certain areas. So
yeah.
I may have to do that here, Bill, forgive me.
Okay.
But I mean, we won't go into any proprietary stuff that, you know, you did at work, but like a couple of things that really resonated. I mean, one in particular, you know, starting up a new team, right, from scratch, which so many organizations are in that phase today, right?
Just yeah.
Even still, I mean, in customer experience has been around for a relatively long time now. Let's say the last 5 years, it's caught fire and everyone is talking about CX. I would even venture to say the last 9 months because of COVID, everyone's now talking about employee experience as well. Right. So You've got some really special areas of focus that, you know, you can add a lot of value on. I want to get to, but talk to me a little bit about your early days and the thinking behind how do I start up this practice for this company? Because I think listeners are be dying to hear that.
Yeah. So it was an exciting time. I have to say that, you know, again, Fidelity always had that mantra of put the customer first. And so there, that was part of the culture already. And we had some great leadership to help support it. So it was, I was lucky enough that I got to focus on the engagement, the employee engagement piece, right? So how do we make this real for the 10,000 employees in this division? And I loved it. You know, it was interesting at first. There were some discussions like, wait a minute, they have customer experience in their group name, right? And we have it too. Who's responsible, right? And you sort of quickly get to that point where you say, listen, the more people that have customer experience in their title or their group name, the better, right? We can't do this. At the time, I think we were a team of about 10 people. And so it's like, as 10 people, we can't have this transformative effect that we need to have. Yeah. So it's about partnering with everyone else. It's about, you know, not sort of saying, hey, we're the customer experience team and we say this is how it has to be done, but figure out where are those biggest opportunities, those biggest gaps, and just, you know, get into those areas, add value, show value, and then from there, you'll get more exposure across the organization to partner and consult and just get more people to sort of come along on the ride with you.
So was the team bringing those, hey, like these are big rocks for our customers, right? That they want us to move or chip away at. So was your team focused on just creating the visibility around those big rocks and then being a consultative partner to that part of the business, say, here's how we fix it?
So it's funny you say rocks. That's actually what we called them at Fidelity. We called them rocks. Because whether it's that little pebble in your shoe as you walk 3 miles, it just gets really, really annoying, or it's that big boulder you're trying to get out of the way. So yes, our remit was really help identify those customer pain points, do some analysis around them, and get them into the hands of the right people in the organization, so they can look at them and figure out, you know, can they fix them while the patient is open, right? So if, you know, they're working on a website, they can, you know, add these enhancements, or is it something that we need to sort of have a shift around what the roadmap is going to be? And then there were some times too where things came up and there was no clear owner in the organization. And so it was also our role to sort of escalate those, right? And make sure that they got into the hands of senior management so they knew about them and we could put together a roadmap and a game plan to attack those things.
So I you know, it's the ones where there's no owner or where there's one owner or no owner are sometimes the easiest ones, at least in my experience. When you have five owners, right, all with competing objectives, frankly, those have always been, at least for me, that I'm sure you saw some of those as well.
Yeah, I had one actually where I thought it was really clear who owned it. And they said, no, actually, you know, that was a different group. And so I brought the two groups together and I said, all right, neither of you wants to own this. If I can get the funding to fix this, will one of you take it on? And one of them said, yes, will you get the funding? We'll take it. And so, we actually did some journey mapping around the customer pain point. And we got in front of the senior team, and went through the journey map with them. And then after we went through the journey map, we talked about all the pain points and how many times they happened to other customers. Mm-hmm. And then sort of, and you know, the punchline at the end was, you know, this is how much it's going to cost to fix this. Shouldn't we just get this fixed? Right. And I got the funding on the spot. Everyone in the senior team sort of afterwards, you know, came up to me and saying, like, that's never happened. No one's ever gotten money, you know, that much money at once. And I think partially the success of that was that we didn't walk in there with slides and sort of what they normally see. Mm-hmm. It was a journey map of a particular customer that had been through this horrible process. And I think that was different for them, right? And it's, so it sort of told the story of what should be one of the greatest times in someone's life, retirement, was actually really stressful for them and how that was our fault. And so it was a great lesson for me to sort of lead with the story. You know, don't lead with the here's what we're going to do or what we need in order to get it done. You know, really focus on telling the story, get them bought in, and then you can get to that other stuff later on.
Make that, make the pain kind of real for them, right? And feeling it, because you never know. Some of those folks might in that room might have been close to retirement as well. And I'm sure they had portfolios with Fidelity. Like, I'm not going through that. Let's fix this.
But again, and it comes back to that emotion, right? I mean, and that's what customer experience is understanding the emotion, right? And so that was a great example of think about how this person should feel and what their actual emotions were and what caused that. And that is, I mean, if that doesn't get you to sort of really want to dive in and figure out how do we peel this back and make improvements, then, you know, I don't know what would.
So I'm curious, was that like a pure experience play, that that example, or was there efficiency or maybe even revenue for the organization that you guys maybe brought into that too? If there you can't get into that detail, I'm, you know.
Yeah, there was no revenue, but there was certainly efficiency. Mm-hmm. You know, there were things that we were doing that caused us to send, you know, like NIGO letters basically saying, you know, thanks for sending in your paperwork. You know, those 45 pages we made you fill out, we appreciate that, but you missed this one line where you had to add something, right? So there was definitely efficiencies for us because we were processing things multiple times until we got it right.
Right, cool. I love bringing that perspective into a CX business case. And oftentimes, right, they're there. They're there right in front of you to be able to, the firm to save money, the firm to grow sort of the top line as well, make people better and smarter at their job at the same time, right? All those things kind of lift, right?
Well, and that's the great thing about customer experience. You know, I've always looked in my career is look for the win-win, right, situation. Mm-hmm. Customer experience is a win-win-win. The customer benefits, the company benefits, and the employees benefit. And so you just have this amazing relationship where everyone is getting better and feeling better about what's going on. And so that's why I really get excited about customer experience.
Yeah, same here. And I'm like you, my brain is always on thinking about how to improve that product or process. I just can't turn it off at this point. It annoys the heck out of my family, I will be honest with you, because sometimes I do share that. But anyway, so thanks for sharing that example. I think that particularly for new teams, as they're thinking about where do we focus, what do we do, how do we stand this thing up, it's important to get those wins in early and establish yourselves as experts, as people who don't necessarily want to put a finger in the wound, maybe, right? But really want to help people be successful. And that at the end of the day is part of that work, whether it's the customer success, the business success, or the employee's success, right?
I think we found that it was just best to sort of add value wherever we can and then let someone else talk about how beneficial it was to have partnership with the customer experience team, and they sort of do your internal marketing for That's you. Right. And it's more powerful to hear it from somebody else than, you know, from me or someone on the CX team.
10 times more. So thinking about your work, and you've spent most of your career in financial services. So now you recently or relatively recently joined a, you know, global pharma company. So, someone once told me, and this person was at like major organizations and has led product design, I mean, at places like Yahoo and other, like other big kind of tech companies, and they're like at Lego as well. And they're like, you should jump around industries in your career if you want to be really good at this game. And because I've literally spent 25 years in financial services, over 20 of those in the CX space. And I always thought about that. So like, what's that experience been like? I mean, the tools are the same, right? Your customer base is obviously different, but what has that experience been like?
Yeah, so there's a lot of similarities. I'd say the first one being that in financial services, you have some complexity around legal risk compliance, right? And I think that almost becomes a crutch for employees, right? As we think about employee engagement and adoption, it becomes a crutch because they say, oh, legal will never let us do that. Right. And you have these sort of organizational urban legends that just, you know, maybe compliance wouldn't let it happen, you know, 10 years ago, but people hold on to that. And I think it's the same thing with pharmaceutical. You still have those sort of legal risk compliance folks. And there are many times where people say, oh, they're never going to let you do that. Yet, when you actually sit down with them, they're very reasonable. And and they're willing to partner with you if you can show the value and talk about why it's important. So that's one similarity, definitely. I also think there's a similarity for me, particularly in terms of the complexity of the relationships. Now, I say that because when I was at Fidelity, I was in the workplace investing division. Mm-hmm. So companies would hire us to do 401ks. So you had that customer relationship, but then you also had the direct relationship with the employees, right? Because it's their 401k. In pharma, you also have this complex relationship because you have one person that's prescribing the drug, you have one person that's taking the drug, and you have a completely different organization that's paying for the drug. Mm-hmm. So there's complexity there. And CX, I think, can really help manage some of that complexity. And so I think that's, you know, just another similarity that I've seen. But it's been a great experience. The people have been fantastic. We're relatively new in the CX space at Biogen, but I'm amazed at just the eagerness to have these tools. Yeah. I'm at a spot now where we're really just trying to keep up with demand. And I think part of that too has to do with COVID, right? There's never been a time that it's been more important to be connected to customers and really make sure that you're interacting with them and you're providing them with something. You're not just thinking about yourself and what you're trying to sell and what your goals are, but really trying to understand where they're at and meet them there and again, add value.
I love the excitement of new teams. I've had an opportunity just, you know, even where I am today, we started up a team 18 months ago. There's so much energy behind that, man. It's like unstoppable. Yeah. I love it. I will never get old of the feeling of a new CX when like the whole company is like, hey, we need this, right? Let's all rally around the topic.
Yeah. And it's fun to build things too. Like I'm a builder. So I love that I was able to sort of come in and there really wasn't much infrastructure there. So, you know, in the past, I feel like it's sort of dealing with what you have and figuring out how do you sort of cobble these things together in the best possible way. Now it's all net new. So you'd get to start from scratch and knowing where you want to be and how a CX program is run effectively and efficiently, you know, knowing that that's the destination and figuring out the building blocks to get there is really exciting.
I'm curious, do you think you can actually get to further along a maturity curve for a CX team when it's completely new and then you've got the company? Because my experience is when it's established and running and already there and you're trying to, you know, and it's been around, let's say, for 5-7 years, I feel like, and this is just my opinion, right? There's almost like this set in the ways kind of mentality. And it's harder to change people's minds versus it's new and you say, hey, here's the plan. Here's what we need to do year one. And by year one, we are going to be here and here's the target and the goal. I feel like you can really accelerate maturity when it's completely new and the firm is willing to invest. I don't know if you've seen that experience, if you've had that experience yourself.
Yeah, I think it's like anything, right? Where people sort of settle in, right? And get to a spot where they're thinking incrementally instead of, you know, leapfrogging.
Exponentially.
So I think like anything, you have to sort of constantly be pushing yourself to say, you know, how could I really take this up? Not a notch, but 10 notches. Like, what would that look like? What would we have to do in order to do that?
So I've been doing a lot of thinking around maturity models generally, and I am always shocked at how new a lot of teams are. You know, you look at like Qualtrics's published research, something like 60% of CX teams are still in like that early, like first stage. And, you know, coming into Biogen, I'm sure you had to create sort of a vision and a strategy around the work that you were doing. Right. How did you approach that for Biogen, or maybe even if you want to use even Fidelity as an example, if you can, how do you approach that vision and strategy, that development, you know, in any team that you're kind of taking on or coming into?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest piece, I think, was really a listening tour, right? So I always say feedback is a gift, but especially when you're coming in new to an organization and trying to understand what have we done in the past, what's worked, what didn't work, where are we now, where do you feel like we need to go? And I think also the big part of customer experience, one of the reasons I love it, is you really have to work with everyone in the organization. And so I think part of those discussions always has to be, what are your goals? Like, what are the things that are keeping you up at night? Because I've found if you can figure out how CX could help them in those areas, then you'll be brought on board as sort of a partner and can help consult and collaborate. But that was the biggest thing for me, was really just a listening tour to understand, you know, where we're starting from. And of course, I had things in my head where I knew where I wanted to take things. But you can't just start down that path without really trying to get a good base level understanding of, you know, what's worked and what hasn't, and where things are currently.
So I'm curious your perspective of, like, what do you think those core tenets are? So the things that you were thinking about, like, hey, I think we should have these, and maybe not start off with all of them, obviously. I think it's critical to understand where the business is, what their needs are, where the customer base is. But are there, like, key things that you think every CX team should have, maybe even that's foundational?
You know, I think the biggest part for me is just that customer connectedness piece and employee engagement. So I think everyone in the organization needs to understand, where are we going, right? What's the spot on the wall? And why is it important, right? I'm a big Simon Sinek fan, right? Yeah. So start with why. Yeah. Why are we doing this? Why is it important? Why does it matter to customers? Why does it matter to the company? And then I think you can start to talk about the what and the how. But it's really the big components for me are that customer connectedness, which there are a couple sort of pillars in that space, and then employee engagement.
So can you share a little bit, is it okay? Can you share a little bit about that customer connectedness piece? Like, what are some of the pillars in there?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest one for me is really just customer listening, right?
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, so you mentioned Qualtrics earlier at Biogen. We have partnered with Qualtrics, setting up a customer listening platform. And it's really to make sure that you have this ongoing 360-degree view of what customers are thinking and feeling about their interactions with the company. I think in pharma in general, many times they rely on research in order to do that. And it's funny because you think about, well, research, well, maybe you do that twice a year, right? So every 6 months. Well, think about earlier this year, what happened with COVID. Imagine if you did not have a voice from the customer for 6 months. The world completely changed. And so,
or for, you know, your employees from that matter, right?
I mean, right. Yeah. Right. So, so in one sense, COVID has been good in that sense, where I think people that may not have gotten that before realize, oh, I need to have a pulse on this. I need to know what customers are saying, how they're thinking about their interactions with us. We need to make sure that we're relevant, that we don't sound, you know, tone deaf, and that we're just leveraging that to manage the business appropriately. So customer listening, I think, really drives the other pillars, right? Around customer journeys, delivering end-to-end omni-channel journeys that customers will rave about. So taking journey maps and making sure journey maps aren't these things that sort of sit on a virtual shelf and get looked at once a year during a planning process, but that they're living, breathing documents that everyone's looking at. Another pillar is really around just designing for real people, right? And so making sure that every interaction is as simple as possible. You know, again, that's where I think the complexity comes in pharma, where it's not always simple, right? You have these three different people that you're working with, these three sort of parts of the organization or customers. But you really need to focus on how do you make that as effortless as possible. And then the last one sort of being personalization, right? Look for ways that you can personalize the experience, not just from a marketing perspective, but also from a service perspective. And if you can do those things really well, you know, you're really sort of pushing yourself into some good space from a CX perspective.
Awesome. That's great insight. I appreciate you sharing it.
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about culture a little bit and how a customer experience leader can influence culture from their seat. And this is a huge topic right now, I think, because particularly with COVID, there's this proliferation of a lot of material out there saying this is the chief HR officer's time. They should be driving employee engagement. And I'm like, I'm not sure if it's the chief HR officer, right? I mean, it probably starts a level above. But even from your seat, how do you influence culture? And how do you drive that that customer-led mindset so people are thinking about the customer before they even embark on a new project or initiative or program?
Yeah, so there's a lot there, right?
Yeah, we can unpack it into smaller chunks if you want. That's probably like an hour-long discussion.
Yes, exactly. You know, I think it starts with one, obviously the goal is to provide the best customer experience and to empower and enable the employees to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And that may seem obvious, but I don't think it always is. And the reason I say that is I think a lot of organizations don't support people sort of sticking their neck out sometimes to sort of change things, right? There's almost a fear. There can be a fear in the organization to say, well, I'm not going to change it. It's been working well. Like, we've done that. You know, this is the way we do it, right? It's the way we've always done it. And so one, you have to really support and get people to stop thinking that way, right? We can't say, oh, that's the way we've always done it. We used to talk about that. That's a huge red flag, right? Anyone says that, the meeting should like stop, right? The record would scratch if there was a record playing. We can't think that way, right? In everything we do, we have to be thinking continual improvement.
Those are the seven most expensive words in business, by the way. That's the way we've always done it, right?
Yes, I mean, exactly. Yeah. Just ask, I don't know, Kodak.
Blockbuster, right?
Or, yes. Yeah.
Although right. Kodak completely changed their manufacturing buildings to help with COVID now here.
Read that.
Yeah, there's like this, I don't know, you never know, you could see a resurgence of Kodak in a very different way.
So that's one. And I think there are other things that we do to really give employees the tools and the training, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's design thinking or journey mapping training or empathy mapping, or just recognizing, you know, I was at Fidelity, we started a Voice of the Customer Ambassador program, where we recognized employees that were already going above and beyond for customers and brought them to the Disney Institute for a couple days.
Cool.
And then leveraged them for a year as sort of an extension of the customer experience team to help us identify customer pain points, to be involved in projects in flight, and to really inspire others around them. So there are all these things that you really, all these components that you have to sort of be thinking about and partnering with HR on to really drive that culture.
Yeah, it doesn't exist within one team, right?
No. And I would say the other part of it too, I tried to lead by example where there are internal processes that get in the way of providing a great customer experience. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have to knock down those barriers as well and ask for feedback from employees. So one of the things that we have is a Voice of the Employee program where we basically do internal crowdsourcing where anyone can enter an idea around how to provide a better customer experience. And that's just a fantastic tool for us because they're the tip of the spear. They're talking to customers all day long or talking with payers all day long, whoever it may be. they have some really good ideas. And a lot of times, you know, they're the experts on how the customers are feeling about the interactions.
And are those ideas, are they like routed to the owner of that process or product and then say, hey, you got to go fix this?
Exactly. So what we do is they can enter the ideas. Other employees can see the ideas. They can comment. They can vote. They can really form teams within this online tool. And that voting and commenting actually helps us sort of narrow down the number of ideas that we're going to do analysis on mm-hmm. and start to explore. But yes, once that happens, we then route those to the appropriate folks so they can look at it, do an assessment, figure out where it's stacked from a priority perspective, mm-hmm. and then where it goes on the roadmap.
That's pretty. Can you name the tool? Is that all right?
Yeah. So the tool is actually called Spigot, that is now PlanView.
Oh, I didn't realize they changed their name. Oh, that's
yeah. I think they merged PlanView and Spigot. But we were big users of Spigot at Fidelity, and we brought it to Biogen as well, and it's been great.
Cool. At Chase, we use Spigot to help us reshape the employee performance management process. Basically say, you guys all have all the ideas. Employees, I mean, you got to go through this every year, or 6 months. You go design it. And all the best ideas floated to the top. And the company just took all those ideas and completely transformed their EPM process. It was a pretty cool way to actually do that. Bottoms up, right?
Right. Well, and it's great, I think, for, you know, I always say as a customer experience person, I don't have all the answers. Right? Yeah, so if you're coming to me thinking I have all the answers, I'm sorry, but I will disappoint you. However, we can figure out, right? We have a lot of smart people. We can figure out the best mm-hmm. way to go about it. And I think a tool like Spigot really just allows you to do that. And it helps employees feel like they're providing input on how we sort of steer mm-hmm. the ship around customer mm-hmm. experience as well, which is important.
I think that's hugely important and recognize the individual. So at Chase, what we used to do is if it was a similar kind of program, we weren't using Spigot for this part of it though, but we would recognize not only the person who had the idea to begin with, but also their manager. And then the person who owned fixed it and that person's manager, we would recognize them, put it out on the internet. Congratulations. Great job sort of stuff. And that we felt like was just an accelerator on that cultural the employee as an innovation hub, right?
Right.
Kind of model. Was pretty cool.
Yeah. So we used to do something very similar. We had, digital screens throughout the building. And it's funny, people are motivated by different things, right? Mm-hmm. Some people want a cash sort of awards. Some people really just want to see their picture on a big screen where we say thank you and congratulations. But it's important to recognize how people are motivated differently as you're thinking about employee engagement around these programs.
Yeah. And maybe even use different mediums, right? To that end, not just do all cash or some kind of cash bonus or stuff like that.
We've done things too where we've just said, all right, you know, the winner for this gets to have a virtual cocktail hour with the senior team.
Cool.
Right. During the COVID times.
Yeah.
But that really gets some people excited. Now some people say, no, I don't want that. Just give me the cash, right? And I won't fault them for that. But it's important to think about those things as you're thinking about incentives and recognition.
Sure. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about technology, because that's played such a massive role in customer experience, I feel like, over the last, let's say, even 2, 3, or 5 years. You're a customer of Qualtrics. We are customers of their competitor, where I am. A lot of it's the same. Tell me a little bit about that proliferation of technology and the importance of it to the work that we all do every day.
Yeah. Well, there's two components, right? One is the technology that we present to customers, mm-hmm. right? Which is constantly evolving, right? You think about AI, machine learning, chatbots, things like that. And then there's the technology we use to support gathering customer insights and getting them to the right people across the organization so they can leverage them to manage their business. both incredibly important. When I think about the technology that we put in front of customers, I think it's interesting. I've always found that as a CX person, I always will say, right, what's the value to the customer, right? Don't create a chat bot because it's going to reduce your servicing costs, right? Yeah. What's the value to the customer? If it's just an internal sort of desire or goal, you know, you're going to be disappointed.
Probably going to fail, right?
Right. I mean, yeah. You know, what's the customer problem you're trying to solve? But it's because there are more and more pieces of technology that we're out there with, it's just created more work from a CX perspective, where we have all of these methods to collect data and gather these insights. So one, I think it's important that you have a tool like a Qualtrics or a Medallia where you can bring these things together and really get a good understanding of the customer experience and the satisfaction or NPS, whatever it is, you know, you're using.
You know, I actually want, and I think I said this, I was speaking on a podcast a couple of weeks back, and I actually said, I don't think that customer experience teams today can be successful over the long term without customer experience management platforms. Just given the complexity of organizations, the complexity of the work, piecing things together, right? It's hard for me to believe. And maybe just because I'm just bought into the technology and I've been using it for a while. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we would have been teams that I've led or been part of in the past that have used similar platforms. I don't think we would have had as much success if we didn't have them. Do you feel the same way or is it?
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I would say even too, like at Fidelity, because we had pieces of it that had been around a while, I've used everything, whether it's, you know, Qualtrics, Medallia.
Yeah.
You know, because at one point you had to have a different technology or vendor, depending on, you know, is this a phone survey? Is it web? Is this an online panel? Is it an in-person panel? And so you managed all of these vendors and platforms. And now I think that's one of the things I've loved about Biogen is there are providers that can really consolidate. And by having that data in one spot, it just makes it so much easier to do the analysis and to really get rich insights out of that. Now, of course, you have to integrate with other, you know, technologies, you know, so you can marry the experience piece with the behavioral piece. But it's so much easier than it used to be.
Yeah, I love it. All right, I've got one last question for you. I want to get you going on your Friday afternoon. This has been a great conversation, so thank you. Where do you go for inspiration? You've been in this space for a while. You've inspired others. You inspire your teams. Where do you go for inspiration?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I will say one piece, one area where I get inspiration is just going to my CXPA local events whenever I can. I used to be part of the planning team for the Boston CXPA. So I try to go to those events to hear how other people are doing it. Mm-hmm. And I also will try to go to conferences as well, just to get inspired. Someone's always doing something a little edgier or, you know, they're doing something a bit newer. You know, that's how I started on journey mapping was I went to a conference and someone talked about how they had journey mapped, you know, a customer experience. And I came back and said, oh, that's really powerful. I'm going to try that. Right. Awesome. And so it gave me that push to sort of say, hey, if it worked for them, it probably could work for us. So let's try it. But I also look at LinkedIn too. Podcasts like this, of course, I think are always great to hear how other practitioners are doing it. So I feel like there's a lot out there, which, you know, 5 years ago, there wasn't.
Didn't exist, quite
honestly. You know, when I said I did customer experience, people would say, oh, you work in a phone group. You know, I'm like, no, that's customer service. And then I'd have a conversation about customer service and customer experience and how you need one to have the other. And there's still a little bit of that, I think, with customer service, customer experience, customer success. But more and more people know what customer experience is and they realize why it's important, which is great.
I think so too. It's a funny story. When my wife and I were first married, maybe we've been married almost 20 years now, but like year one or two, I described what I did to my mother-in-law. She said, "Oh, you're like the concierge at a hotel." I'm like, not really sure where that description came out, but anyway, I'll use it anyway. So, that's awesome. This has been a great conversation. Thanks so much for joining us today, Bill, and providing your insight. And I love the conversation around, you know, the early on, the teams, the new teams, and how do you build that stuff out, as well as sort of the technology piece now. So really appreciate all your insight and coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks so much.
All right.
All right, everybody. That's one more week. We're out. Talk to you soon, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Be Customer Led with Bill Stakos. We are grateful to our audience for the gift of their time. Be sure to visit us at BeCustomerLed.com for more episodes. Leave us feedback on how we're doing or tell us what you want to hear more about. Until next time, we're out.